Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the El Calvario podcast. I hope you all have been enjoying the last few weeks that we've been putting out this content. I know we've been talking about relationships and really different types of forms of that. And today we're going to continue talking a little bit about that, more or less in that theme. But before we get into that topic, I'm joined once again by Pastor Andres Suarez. Mm-hmm. This time I put a little more Spanish sound into it. How you been so far?
I've been doing good. You know, I went to Atlanta this weekend, and I'm old, so I feel like I'm still recovering, and it's Friday right now. So, but yeah, it was a good trip, and happy to be home.
So back in the day, I guess you used to, you mean you still travel.
Yeah.
Would you say before then it was easier to go out and preach maybe a weekend and come back and just get right back into things?
I mean, I didn't have little kids at home was one thing, and then two, I just had more energy, so I could just keep going, going, going. Now I need to recover. And it's hard to recover because you have work to do at home, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you'd say then more or less that happened when the kids happened? Or when did the energy start dropping?
My energy level dropped first when I was 30. That was my first son. Then my energy level dropped again when I was 35, which I had both kids at that point. But, yeah, it's just never come back all the way. Just, yeah.
So it really is true. Once you hit 30, it starts plummeting.
Yeah, I mean, really bad. It starts.
Well, that's not what we're talking about today. Yeah. We're not talking about that. Again, we're talking about relationships. And before we get into it, I did want to just mention a few things. First off, I encourage you all just to continue to subscribe, to follow us, like us on whatever podcast platform. If you watch us through Facebook or YouTube, feel free again to share those through those media outlets or whatever platforms you guys use. And I don't really know for people that are watching, but we do have a new table.
Yeah.
It's a nice table.
Hey, when are we going to get our contract with Spotify like Rogan?
I don't know.
That's the goal.
We got to get a few more listeners, I think, before we get there. So we got a new table here. Feels like some new energy now because of it. Also, something I haven't really pointed out or haven't brought up, it's interesting being in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. Before, previously, I was the one that was behind kind of producing and recording. Yep. So it's a completely different view now being in the front and hosting. Yeah. Hopefully people have been enjoying it. I know it's been a fascinating experience, something different.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can just improve from there.
Yep.
With that being said, let's get into this topic then. So this month of February, I guess now this one will be coming out in March.
Yeah, the
so
first week of March.
We're bleeding a little bit over into the next month. But we're talking about relationships, just talking about different forms of that between spouses, dating, this and that. But today we wanted to focus on, I guess you could say, a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Right? Just, which is just being single.
Yep.
We're talking about being single. Yeah. What can you tell us a little bit about that then?
Well, first reason I wanted to talk about this is because in the church, we tend to focus on the marriage stuff. But being single is an option on the table.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's even encouraged in the Bible. And so the marriage chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, actually deals a lot with being single as well. And so sometimes that group of people in the church is kind of skipped over, which is why I want to talk about it today. Yeah.
So I guess I should start by saying, I mean, I'm guessing most people know what that means, but what exactly does being single mean?
Well, biblically, it's a twofold thing. Obviously, you're not married, but also you are somewhat, I shouldn't say completely, but you are somewhat free from lust. And so because of that, you don't necessarily have a need to get married. So, yeah.
So then let's get a little bit more. What exactly does the Word of God say then according to being single?
So 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. So this is actually one of those instances where the Spanish Bible is a little more clear than the English. But it does say here, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. Paul writes, I am saying this more as a matter of permission and concession, not as a command or regulation. So this is a good idea. I'm not making it mandatory, but I wish that all men were like myself. And it gives in the Amplified Bible, it gives a little note there in this matter of self-control. But each has his own special gift from God. And that's a key phrase there. One of this kind, one of another. And then verse 8, But to the unmarried people and all the widows, I declare that it is well or good or advantageous or expedient or wholesome for them to remain single even as I do. And then verse 9, but if they have not self-control, that's restraint of their passions, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to be aflame, or the King James says to burn, with passion or tortured continually with ungratified desire, referring to sexual lust. Okay, so that's what Paul says on the matter. I wish everybody could be, and he goes on later in the same chapter, getting into verse 32, he explains why he wishes everybody could be. Mm-hmm. Because when you are married, your life becomes infinitely more complicated, you know, that we also have in the Corinthians, the love chapter. You know, while it is very romantic, love is patient, love is kind, mm-hmm. It's also exhausting, or can be exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, and so he goes on to explain that, yeah, if you are single, you can devote yourself to this, you can devote yourself to that, specifically focusing more on the ministry side of things. You can do that, but the second you get married, your focus now became split, because it is biblical and honorable to take care of your wife and your, and then later when you have kids, mm-hmm. you need to. You need to make sure you're investing over here, your heart and your time and all that are here in the home. But if you don't have that, then you have freedom to do ministry. You have freedom to live your life. That's really what he gets into. And so it's important that people know that that's an option on the table.
Yes.
You're not obligated to get married. Now, again, he does make it clear. If you got the lust and you can't control it, and I like the Amplified Bible, the way it says, better to be aflame with passion and tortured continually. That's a key phrase. With ungratified desire. Yeah, if you can't control yourself, with the majority of the people can't, mm-hmm. get married. That's what he's saying. But if you have this thing, which the Spanish Bible calls el don de continencia, and why it's important that he says in verse 7 that all of us has a gift, roughly translated would be the gift of singleness. If you have that, don't feel forced by society or anybody else. If you got that, then buddy, stay single, because your life will be infinitely easier, is what Paul's trying to get at there.
So then why do you think there is that sort of like misconception that being single is almost like a bad thing?
It's one of those things that the majority of people on earth need to get married.
Yeah.
Okay. The majority of people cannot do this. That's why he ties it into this special gift from mm-hmm. God. Because, yeah, most of us need it. And even when God creates marriage, obviously Adam had a problem. He felt lonely. And so God created it so that Adam wasn't lonely originally. That was the plan, right? And so not everybody struggles that way. You know, this was funny because I actually struggled with this myself a little bit when I was a teenager reading the Bible, and I came across this. So it's better for me to be single. Mm-hmm. It's better. Who wants to settle for second best, right? So it's better. But I knew I had a lust problem, number one. I need to get married because of that. But in addition to that, so I knew I had the lust thing. I knew what, so I need to get married. However, I still like being alone.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes people talk, I'm so lonely. And I'm like, if I had like a night to sit at home and just, I don't know, just be by myself, I enjoy that. I enjoy sometimes just being alone. And so I was kind of confused. Like, I like my own company, but I also have the sexual desire. So where do I fall? And obviously, I got married. So it's really important to just know yourself and whatever. But yeah, some people have to get married. They can't stand being alone. Some because of sex or whatever. You just need to know yourself. If you enjoy your own company and you don't have that lust issue, then stay by yourself, because you'll be miserable on the other side of it.
And speaking a little bit about loneliness here, Is that something that you think people should kind of, I guess even before marriage, something that they should be comfortable with themselves before they even seek a sort of marriage or dating or anything like that?
Yeah, because if you can't just handle yourself, then how are you going to handle somebody else? So you do need some of it. And obviously different personality types need more or less. But if you get married just for the companionship, just to have somebody there, and instead of, well, I'm okay with me and I want this person in addition to, mm-hmm. you, and maybe I shouldn't phrase it this way, but you've introduced like a drug to your system. I need this. I'm dependent on this and this alone.
Yeah.
Instead of, well, I want this, which when you get married, don't you, you should have a want instead of a need. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The need means I lost all my rights and I'm here and I'm stuck. The want is you are joining, or we are joining, I should say, our lives together.
So then kind of talking a little bit about that, and it was going to be something else that we're going to touch on earlier. But then, so what happens if you do get married, I guess, when you can say when you're not supposed to?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about it is that there's verses in the Bible that warn about getting married outside of the will of God, marrying the wrong person, those kinds of things. And yes, they tend to focus on the man, but remember, in general, up until modern times, in 90% of societies around the world, it was always the man choosing. The women didn't always have much agency in the situation. So in the Bible, we will find verses that talk more to the man than the woman, but the concepts are the same. And so one of my favorite, that I'm going to tell a quick story and then we'll actually get into what the Bible says. I was dating a girl everybody told me was great. Mm-hmm. And I told that story the other day, yeah. Right? So I'm frustrated as all get out. I literally have a knot in my back that didn't go away till the day I broke up with her. And that's real life. Okay. And so one day I'm just ultra confused. God, I don't get it. Everybody's saying this is great. I'm miserable. So I did that thing that you're not supposed to do because it's stupid. You took my Bible, put it up on its spine, God talked to me, and I just dropped it open like that, right? And I read the verse, and it came out Proverbs 11. A beautiful woman who lacks discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's snout, which that's out of the New Living Translation. So I tried this with a few different Bibles, okay? Mm-hmm. And every time I kept doing it, I kept coming across that verse, and I'm like, oh. So, yeah, it might be attractive to everybody in the world, but she doesn't have discretion. She's like a pig with a ring in her snout. So, got to get out of this. And so, yeah, I know that's everybody says they don't do it, but somebody has done it at a certain point in their life. God yeah. talked to me and just dropped the Bible open. But God did that day. He really did. He made it abundantly clear that why this wasn't working.
So then how do you know that you're in sort of that situation where maybe I shouldn't be with this person? Because a lot of times people are almost with the mentality, well, I'm with this person and now I don't see a way out, right? Like, I gotta stick with this.
Yeah. I shouldn't tell the story. I'm telling the story real quick. I was in somebody's wedding where the best man of the wedding, so I'm one of the groomsmen and the best man's over here, and he literally tells the groom while the woman's coming down the aisle, it's not too late.
Yeah.
And it legitimately, it wasn't too late. Now, obviously, it'll cause a bigger problem if you wait till literally she's coming down mm-hmm. the aisle. But nonetheless, you know, and so the thing is, you have to study each other ahead of time. And well, first, you need to know yourself, and then you need to study each other to see if we are a match. Because if not, we're going to drive each other nuts. And I heard one preacher say, I don't know what that would have been, but I remember him talking about, you know, so God provides the marriage so that man is not alone. But when you marry the wrong person, you're married and still alone, except this time you can't get away from the person who makes you lonely.
Okay.
And so it tortures you. It becomes a prison. And so it's important to study each other. So, I knew, you know, I know how I am, and I'm going to use very shallow whatever example, but, you know, when I was in school, anti-establishment, quiet, want to keep to myself, did not want to participate, didn't want to be part of that, you know, that typical, you know, that stereotypical American high school culture. Pep rallies were vile to me, you know, those kind of things. So would I marry the cheerleader type? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that, let's actually, I'll keep going with the cheerleader type. I'm not exactly a peppy kind of guy, okay? I'm not. I like to joke around or whatever, but I'm not peppy, happy, whatever. If I married a woman like that, wouldn't I be in like in a perpetual hell every day of my life? You know, like we're just not going to understand each other. Not mm-hmm. that one's good or one's bad. We're just not going to get it. And so if I would have married somebody that way, I'd be miserable. Yeah.
And I guess that's why the Bible, again, recommends that for some cases it's better to be single than yeah. to be married.
Yeah.
But then this is great for people that are, I guess, in the process, maybe dating or mm-hmm. are single right now. But, I mean, what happens if you're already married to that person? Like, what's the fix? Is there a fix there?
There is, which one is obviously prayer.
Yeah.
And two, the Bible does teach that a man is supposed to live wisely with his wife or according to knowledge, one translation says. In other words, you do need to get to know her. We're already married. Now we're going to form a life together, mm-hmm. you know. And actually, let me add in, whoever you marry, no matter what, you're going to have some sort of contention because it is two separate lives. You can pick out perfect, and this can be heavens open up, God says marry her. You're still two different persons, two different people with different histories, different opinions. There's going to always be some contention. The problem is when you just live in contention. And so when you are married, the man, specifically the man, the order is given to him to study her and learn about her, okay? You know, you also need to be praying for your home. Some guy, I preach that at the church, and I promise you, some men are like, why are you putting something else on me? Because you're the head of the household. If you pray and bring God into the home, isn't he the God who calms the storm? Mm-hmm. Isn't he the God who can change mourning into dancing? So you bring him in the home. He will, just his presence will transmit some things to fix issues in the marriage and get to an understanding. And it's one of those things, all right, we already got married and now we're just living, fighting. That can all change following biblical principles, praying it through, having God there, and it'll take care of it over time. But it does require first one to make the decision to be mature and grow. Mm-hmm. And then in turn, the other has the opportunity to do so as well. You know, and 9 times out of 10, that does happen because the word of God does not come back void. There will be progress.
So I guess, I mean, for those that maybe find themselves in a situation like that, it's not a lost cause.
It's not.
Right? It's just a matter of, well, all right, now it's time to grow up and mm-hmm. seek God.
Yeah. Let me say it like this. Like, pretend that there's a starting line to the race. You marry the person who's in the will of God, we connect, we understand each other. Well, we're starting from here mm-hmm. so that we can make it to the end. If I marry somebody outside of the will of God, well, I'm starting from down here. I could have been here, but I'm here. That's fine. We work on it. We'll eventually get here and then get to the end goal. It does just require more work.
Okay. And so let's go back to being single a little bit.
Well, hey, can I read some verses that go, deals with both sides of the equation?
Yeah.
Of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs has several verses about marriage that actually have to do with singleness as well. And again, it's going to be geared towards the man, but the principles apply to both. Proverbs 14, a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. A foolish wife sucks the life from her husband. And I'm reading these all out of the New Living Translation. A quarrelsome wife is as annoying as a constant dripping. This Proverbs 21:9 and Proverbs 25:24, I might have that second number wrong, but says exactly the same thing. It is better to live in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. Proverbs 21, It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry wife. So, I marry the wrong woman. Even if she's a good woman, okay? Even if she's a good woman, if I am constantly spitting the opposite of what she understands out of my mouth, even if she's a good woman, we are going to get to that point of the quarrelsome and the angry and all that stuff. Even if we're both two good-willed people, we're going to get there.
Yeah.
And so then we get into that, well, I'm married but still alone. Okay, now let's add in the other thing. You have the gift of singleness. You're, you know, the will of God is not for you to marry, and you get married anyway. And now you're held hostage. You're not alone. You're never stinking alone. And now I have this thing because I have the gift of singleness. I want to be alone. I need, in fact, I feel energized when I get alone. And then on the other hand, I married somebody who wants to be with me all the time. And they think they're just showing affection and they're happy, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you're driving me nuts. I can't take it. I need to be alone. And so now the person who has the need for aloneness is feeling miserable. The person who has the need for togetherness feels unfulfilled and unloved and rejected and blah, blah, blah. So we get into a situation in the home that didn't need to be there of contention and arguing and two people feeling unfulfilled. So it's the same principles applied different. Seek the, if you're single, if you have the gift of singleness, or you think you might, let me add that in, you think you might, pray, get confirmation from God, seek that out, and be happy in it. If you don't have said gift of singleness, you know, pray and get confirmation from God that this is the right person to marry. And then, so now when we're married, yes, we're going to have fights sometime, but we're not going to live like that whole deal about it's better to live in the corner of an attic. It's better to dwell in the wilderness. You know, it's not going to be that. No, in spite of some chokes, conflicts that we have, I'm better now that we got married, you know? It's that kind of thing.
And so just one final question here, because the time quickly goes by.
Yeah.
Kind of going back to that, the just being single here, the last question is there a difference? Does the Bible say like any sort of different way for a man to live single or a woman to live single? Like, are there similarities, differences for that?
You know, it doesn't really go into a whole lot of detail. It is just a question about that gift of singleness. You know, they enjoy being alone and they're in control of their sexual lust.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that's it, you know, and you don't necessarily need anybody else.
Is there anything else you want to add before we tie things up here?
Just as far as anybody who's dating or whatever, you need to figure some of this stuff out. And, you know, as a pastor, constantly, whether it's this subject or other things, there are life decisions that once you've committed, even if you're able to get out of them, still cause consequences in your life, you know? And so it is better to get in the Word of God, pray something through, speak to a man of God, and the man of God who doesn't just give his opinion but goes to pray it through himself to get a confirmation from God from now a third party, unrelated and what's the word? He's not going to deal with the consequences or the benefits of the thing. So he doesn't have emotion in it. So we get the confirmation through the prayer, through the Word, through the man of God. Then make life decisions. Don't do it just, well, I think this way or that way. That's the Book of Judges mindset. It's right in their own eyes, and every time it ended bad. And so as far as this subject goes, whether being single or getting married or knowing who to marry, it's very important that you know what you're doing ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because once you're stuck, either way, you're stuck.
So, at the end of the day, being single, not so bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you can stay single, and if you're happy with it,
yeah,
then stay single. mm-hmm. right? There's no need to force a marriage that shouldn't even happen, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor, mm-hmm. for that word and that advice. Hopefully people listen and take that into consideration. For those that may be feeling like, oh, I need a date or I need to get married, yeah. that, hey, slow things down, you know? And with that, kind of tie things up here for today. I want to thank you all again for joining us, for listening. And again, I ask you for just please continue to subscribe, follow, like, share, do whatever you need to do on whatever podcast platform you listen on. And until next time, have a great day.